What was Abram thinking? Seriously, chapter 16 is a strange, messed up chapter. Find out why next. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I am Mr. Thomason, and today we are looking at Genesis 16. I'm going to shorten the episodes a little bit just for time's sake, and so that students can listen to what they want to listen to rather than have a huge, long 30-minute podcast, which could just put them to sleep. So we have been walking through the life of Abraham, who we have known as Abram for the past couple chapters, but we're now in chapter 16. If you remember, back in chapter 14, Abram had a lot of faith, and he went and saved his nephew Lot from the kings. I was blessed by Melchizedek. In chapter 15, we looked at chapter 15, and there was a lot to gain from chapter 15, but the main thing that was going on in chapter 15 was the Abrahamic covenant, where God makes his covenant promising that Abram's descendants would obtain the land of Canaan, and he would have descendants. And it tells us in Genesis 15:6 that he believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, which is foundational for our faith. And then you turn to chapter 16, and we don't know the time period between chapter 15 and 16, but there's definitely some sin going on in chapter 16. Just the first couple verses is what we're going to look at, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as his wife." Okay, so we're going to stop there in this episode, but this first three verses, we should be going, okay, say what? What is going on here? It seems like Abram's wife Sarai decides to give her maidservant Hagar to Abram as his wife in order to bear children. And this seems like a messed up situation here. But actually, if you were to study the culture of this time period, this was actually pretty normal. And culture would state that if the matriarch of the family could not bear children, then it was pretty normal to give the maidservant to the husband in order to bear children. And then that child that is born is supposed to be given to the matriarch as her child. But in our culture, obviously, this seems a little messed up. And the one thing that we talked about with this is that we looked at how God had defined marriage back in Genesis 2, and that was prior to the fall, prior to sin entering into the world, how God had designed marriage. And of course, marriage designed by God, according to Genesis 2, is that it is between one man, one woman for life, and that if we were to maybe cross-reference, say, Ephesians 5, and we were to look at the purpose of marriage is to, the man is supposed to protect, to guide, to care for, to love on, build up, edify the wife. And the wife is to submit herself to the husband in a way that is respectful. And we talked about how the cycle really is, if the husband is doing his job, biblically, is doing his job, taking care for the wife, building her, growing her, how that really builds respect in the wife. And she wants to follow the leadership of her husband. And of course, sin enters the world, and that obstructs the relationship. And rather than serving each other, many times we in marriage want to just get what we want, and we focus on what we want. And there's so many complicated issues with marriage, but if you peel back all the layers, really it's, I want what I want, and she wants what she wants, and I'm not getting what I want, and she's not getting what she wants, and so that causes tension in the marriage. And but what's amazing is that God's grace covers even that. You know, like my wife and I have been married for now I'm gonna give this away. What is this? 6 years now? Seven years? 6 years. And 7 years. Don't tell my wife. Anyways, we I've been married for a while, and we've learned that really marriage is to make us more like Jesus, right? And what do I mean by that? Well, Ephesians 5, Jesus, he comes to serve the church, right? Like he lays down his life for the church, his bride. And Ephesians 5 tells us that the church submits herself to her husband, that is Christ, and his authority, and loves him and respects him. And that is what marriage is supposed to be in a picture to the world. But when you add on a woman to the picture, like Sarai does here, it brings in just some dysfunction in chapter 16. And we see where just because culture says something is okay in chapter 16 doesn't necessarily mean that that is the best thing to do, right? So chapter 16 shows us right off the bat how when Abram and Sarai don't follow, aren't patient in waiting on what the Lord has promised he would do, and they try and take things into their own hands, and they try and make things work, it has brought some dysfunction into this family. And so verses 1-3, we're in this weird place where Abram has taken on this new wife. He now has two wives, and there's going to be tension here. And a couple interesting things here real quick is that it tells us that Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And this is supposed to make us remember Adam, when God is talking to Adam and he says, since you listened to the voice of your wife. And really, again, here it's this idea that Abram is being passive, and he is supposed to be the leader of the family, and he is supposed to be the one who says no, like we need to wait on the Lord, we need to do what he says. But rather, he listens to the voice of his wife, who is wanting to take control of the situation. And it just does not work out well. So we see here there's a time reference in verse 3 where Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. So we can kind of understand their frustration, maybe their impatience. Back in chapter 12, we learn that Abram is 75 years old, and he was promised a descendant back in chapter 12, but it's been 10 years. And there's a lot to say about that, and I'll just continue that on into the next episode. One of the foundational truths that we learned at the beginning of the year through Genesis 1 is that God is the creator, and therefore we are the creation. And Genesis 2 specifically shows us that God is the one who sets the boundaries of what is right and what is wrong. And it is in Genesis 2 that he designs the man for the woman and the woman for the man. And they are to leave their father and mother and cleave together. And this was all prior to the fall in Genesis 3, of course. But Genesis 16 is an example that we definitely don't want to follow. And we'll continue to see just the dysfunction that happens whenever man decides that they want to do what they want to do rather than what God wants. And so I hope you'll join me.